Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place. The point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, Episode 3. I'm very excited to introduce my guest today, Marcus Sheridan. Hey, Marcus.
Hello, hello. It's very nice to be here. I'm very excited. Hopefully I'll say something of value to your audience today.
I'm sure you will. I'm so happy to have you with us today. Called a web marketing guru by the New York Times, the story of how Marcus Sheridan was able to save his swimming pool company, Riverpools, from the economic crash of 2008 has been featured in multiple books, publications, and stories around the world, and is also the inspiration for his newest book, They Ask, You Answer, which was dubbed the number one marketing book to read in 2017 by Mashable. Today, Sheridan has become a highly sought-after global speaker and consultant in the digital sales and marketing space, working with hundreds of business and brands alike to become the most trusted voice of their industry while navigating the ultra-fast rate of change accruing within consumers and buyers today. Marcus, I just reviewed what you've done until now. Please share with us, what are you doing today and what are you most passionate about and where are you heading?
Nobody ever grows up and says they want to be a pool guy, right? And so So I was a pool guy for what was about 10 years of my life, but I had to do that and I had to go through that economic collapse in order to get on the next path, right? And the next path was teaching what has become known by many as content marketing, but to me really I think it's a much deeper conversation than calling it marketing, because if you take away the fancy phrases like digital or sales or marketing or social, all we're really talking about is teaching and trust. And so I'm trying to help companies and organizations see the world differently and see themselves as teachers and do whatever it takes so that they can build that trust. And so that's the path that I'm on, and it's a fun path. It takes me around the world, and it allows me to talk to good people like you, Hayut.
Thanks.
So it's really been a great ride. So that's what I think about most days.
And where are you heading? What is going to be the next step?
You know, I think my next thing is I think I had to do this in order to get to the point where I want to be is I want to get to a point where I'm talking about the intersection between personal and professional. That's where I want to be. I think there's so many principles of success that are prevalent in our business lives, but they impact us just as much in our personal lives. And so I'd like to get to a point where I'm speaking to even more audiences, even bigger audiences, about how they can reach that full fulfillment in their life personally and professionally.
I totally agree. I believe that today we must combine this together. Otherwise, we won't live our lives.
Yeah.
It is. It comes together. Can you describe in few words how your company started? Either you can choose the swimming pool company or the sales line. And what was the story of that?
Well, so, you know, I'll do both really quick. With Riverpools, I was just out of university and was looking for a job, and I thought I was going to get into teaching. My two friends had started a swimming pool company. This was in the year 2000, and they needed somebody to run the retail store. And they asked me to do that, and I said, yeah, I'll do that until I find my next job. Well, about 6 months into it, they said, why don't you become our third partner? And so I became the third partner, and that's how I became a pool guy.
It sounds great being a pool guy.
Yeah, it is. You know, sometimes it's funny how people say to me, like, do you ever get tired of telling the pool guy story?
And I must tell you, I heard it around four or five times, and I never get tired of hearing that again.
Well, for me, it's like it's who I am, you know. It's a foundation of the story, and although I'm not, quote, a pool guy anymore, if somebody says, hey, it's the pool guy, it doesn't bother me because it is who I am, and it's a story that people can put their arms around, and they say, ah, so that's what can happen with all this digital stuff that I've been hearing about. That's how it can relate to me and my business. So yeah, and of course today it's the most trafficked swimming pool website in the world. It's amazing, right? It's crazy.
It is.
It's crazy. And I just, you know, we went from being a struggling retailer to now we install pools throughout Virginia, Maryland. We are manufacturing fiberglass pools throughout the United States. We've got dealers popping up everywhere. We're off to the races, and it's only getting better, but it's all because we said we're going to be the best teachers in the world when it comes to fiberglass pools. That's the thing that did it.
And the sales line.
The sales line's funny. You know, I started with what, of course, I call They Ask, You Answer with River Pools in 2009 to save the business, and within about 7 or 8 months, I said to myself, man, this stuff works. I need to tell everybody about this. So I started a personal website where I was just going to write my thoughts on sales and business, and I called it The Sales Lion because I like lions. I think they're awesome.
They are.
Yeah, they are. And it sounded better than The Marketing Lion. So I went with The Sales Lion, and I tell you what, for the first year, I don't really think anybody listened, didn't get much traction, but then all of a sudden, people started to read it, and I started to get invited to events and to conferences. And when I got invited to one, then I got invited to two, and then it was four, and then it was eight. It just snowballed. And today, I've got a consultancy where we help businesses, small to medium-sized businesses, to, like you said, to embrace what you and I might call content marketing, but to really become leaders in their space, to become the most trusted voice, to embrace what's happening with today's buyer, to embrace, you know, textual and video content and to go all in with it. It's been really cool too because, you know, for a while the only cool case studies was River Pools, but now I've created a ton of other case studies of people doing the Ask, You Answer.
You know, all what this Rich or Miss podcast is about the customer focused, mainly for entrepreneurs, because I believe this is what is it all about, marketing and sales and this trust that you are talking about. So can you please tell us who your customers are today and the story about, actually you told us about how you figured out who are your most potential customers or consumers. It can be, again, either in each company. I just want to understand, how did you find out who they are?
You know what's interesting? I firmly believe this. The happiest day in the life of a business is not when they necessarily, quote, figure out who they are. It's when they figure out what they're not and who they don't want to do business with and what services or products they don't want to offer. Because when you're willing to recognize that, you're able to walk away. You're able to say no to certain things that are going to be a distraction, that are going to suck your time and energy, but not be of a major benefit to you. So let me give you an example.
Yeah.
You know, with River Pools, for a while, we had a big retail. We had two retail stores. We did above ground pools. We did in ground pools. We did hot tubs. We did tanning beds. We did pool tables. I mean, you name it. We did all that stuff. Grills. I mean, we did all that stuff. And eventually I said to myself, what can we be the best at? What's the one thing we can be the best at? That was fiberglass pools. And I knew we weren't good retailers. Like, our thing wasn't selling pool chemicals. It wasn't selling hot tubs. That just wasn't our thing. And so I said, you know what? I'm just going to walk away from all that. And I closed my retail stores. So other than embracing the internet and They Ask, You Answer, the smartest thing that I ever did was say, I'm not those things. And
you're talking about focus.
Yeah, total focus. And, you know, it's now the whole brand is built on that. And there's been a couple of times when my business partners have said over the years, you know, maybe we should do concrete pools too, because we, you know, because we got all this traffic and people. I'm like, no, because that's not who we are. Let's not try to be something we're not. We're the best in the world at this one thing. Let's own it, and everybody will know us for that. And it's proved to be very effective.
I would like to hear about the new book because I'm really curious about. I heard about it. I'm waiting to meet you to get it or to buy it in the coming conference. However, I really wanted to ask you, what happens when you are not talking with somebody that really knows what the product is? What if we are working, and our listeners, most of them are startup founders and entrepreneurs, a lot of times they are bringing to the world something new most of the people don't know about. Not everyone has questions about yet. How do...
Well, okay, so that's where I'll push back.
Okay.
Because even though they don't have a question necessarily about your product or your service, they do have a lot of questions about the problem.
Sure.
In the business, the product, the service is always built on the problem. And so when it comes to the way consumers and buyers think and buy and search and shop, they're always asking certain things. And so, you know, one of the things that the book really talks a lot about is the five subjects that everybody researches when they're getting ready to buy something. And that is, they want to know how much it costs. They want to know what are the problems with it. What are the negatives? What are the drawbacks? They want to know how it compares to other things that are similar to it.
Okay.
They want to know what everybody else is saying about it, which is reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want to know what the best is. All right? What's the best product or service to do this or to do that? This is what the world does when they're looking to buy something. And unfortunately, most companies aren't willing to talk about this stuff. But it starts with the problem. And here's the other thing. Let's say you have a new product or service.
Yeah.
And it's totally new to the marketplace. Well, then what you do is what I call drafting. And drafting is a technique whereby you answer all the questions about another service or product that is the leader or the leaders in your space. So you want to become not only the expert of your thing, but the expert of the thing that is leading the marketplace. Let me give you an example I'm talking about so it's clear to the listeners. So let's say, you know, you live in Israel, which is really cool. Let's say that nobody out there knows about fiberglass pools, but they do know about concrete pools. And so if I'm going to be successful, I'm going to draft off of concrete pools. I'm going to be the foremost teacher when it comes to fiberglass pools. Answer all the questions. How much do they cost? And just go down. I'll go down the line and talk about everything to do with them, good, bad, and ugly. In the process of doing that and drawing viewers to my site that are trying to learn about concrete pools, I now have an opportunity to introduce them to fiberglass pools as well. And so I'm drafting off of what the existing leader in the marketplace is, concrete, and now introducing my particular product or service, which in this case would be fiberglass.
Wow. I think it's interesting to follow this path that you are drawing here. And I want to ask you, I'm sure there was some, what is the biggest, most critical failure you had with customers? The one that affected your entrepreneurial journey or your business journey the most? And I want to hear this story.
Oh, wow. Everybody, I think if you've been in business long enough, has a few major failures. I'm going to give you two very quickly. And the first one was, you know, I didn't understand accounting very well when I got into business. And so I hired an accountant and really just gave her all the trust in the world. To make a long story short, she embezzled a ton of money from the company. And so I almost lost my swimming pool company before any of that, economic collapse and crash, before any of that, simply because I allowed too much trust to be in one person and I didn't oversee the books well enough. And it really almost cost me my business. The second big mistake that I made was thinking that my goals was retail stores in size, buildings, offices. That was dumb. Like, that was really, really dumb. Because, as I said a minute ago, I got really successful when I said, forget all those stores. You know what I did is when I was early on, I read in this book that I should write my, you know, 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year goals. And what does that look like, right? And so I remember writing out my 10 year goals. And I said, I want to have a store in this city, and I want a store in this city, and I want a store in this city. But the problem was that was just something that people could see and made me look like, oh, look at him. He's successful. But that wasn't profitable. And so when I let go of the pride of wanting stores, buildings, they call that the edifice complex, right? So when I let go of that and I focused on, okay, what's going to be the most profitable? Then we became very successful.
Perhaps because you really focused on your customers, consumers, and what they are thinking about and asking about, and not about the retailers. I'm just asking.
Well, that's it. And, you know, it comes down to knowing who you are, what you're not, and also knowing how our buyers changing and evolving. I could see that I wasn't going to be able to keep up with Amazon. I wasn't going to be able to, you know, sell pool chemicals and make a living, but I could install fiberglass pools and make a business out of it. And so that goes to paying attention to the marketplace, listening to what the customer is saying, and then being willing to evolve your business model around it.
Wow, it sounds so right. And I wonder, what is your biggest success with customers? What was one of the wins that you had on the way?
Well, the easy one there is being willing to embrace that philosophy of they ask you answer and say, any question that I've ever been asked by a pool shopper, I'm going to answer it on my website through text and video. And just to give you a simple idea, and this story is in the book, one of the main questions I used to get asked all the time was, Marcus, how much does a fiberglass pool cost? You know, and I did this in 2009. No pool guys wanted to address on their website the subject of cost. They just talked around it.
Most businesses are not doing this until today. They are not talking about cost.
It's a huge problem. Huge issue. And so I said, well, buyers want to know, so I'm going to talk about it. And I talked about it a lot. Well, to make a long story short, that one article, you know, because we have advanced analytics and we can do tracking, we know the total number of leads, the number of sales, and the actual revenue dollar that that one article on my website has created for the company. And it took me 45 minutes to write at my kitchen table, and it's generated $3.5 million in sales.
Wow. Wow. And this was one of the first articles?
One of the first ones. Wow. Yeah, because when I said we're going to do they ask you answer, it was like, well, this is the first question everybody wants to know. So, Marcus, come on, give me a feel for these things. What are we looking at here? What might this cost? And so I said, okay, fine, we're going to do it. I didn't think twice about it. And oh, my goodness, that was a home run.
So it feels so great because I remember your story about how difficult things became. And I know from my companies and from other startups that I work with, sometimes we are really scratching in order to try and find the next customer and from customer to customer. And suddenly you felt exactly the opposite. Suddenly they came to you.
That's a beautiful thing, right? And that's the essence of what inbound marketing is. And, you know, sometimes people say, how would you define inbound? But to me, inbound marketing is like that young teenage boy at a dance where you're at the dance and you basically see two types of, we'll call them guys here. The first guy is tapping every girl on the shoulder trying to get a dance, and most of them are kind of running in the other direction, right? And so he's depressed and he can't get a dance.
Sure.
The second guy is the guy who's got all the people around him, and everybody wants to dance with him, and he can pretty much pick and choose who is he going to dance with. And if you pick and choose who you dance with, there's a good chance that you're going to have a much better time at the dance. And so really that's inbound. We have a choice. We can be tapping everyone on the shoulder, begging for their business, or we can have so much value to the marketplace because we're such great teachers that they come to us and they say, hey, can we dance? And now we have the choice.
Wow. Can you recommend the best, most effective technological or digital tool that related to customer focus, to marketing, to sales, mm-hmm. to content, where everything is changing so fast? What is or are the tools that we should use today?
Well, the tool that I believe in most by far for small to medium-sized businesses is HubSpot, HubSpot. Most people at this point have heard of HubSpot, but that to me is the ultimate sales and marketing tool. It allows you to learn so much about your leads and your lead behavior. It allows you to track the ROI of your different marketing efforts. I mean, if you're going to do Facebook or if you're going to do pay-per-click or if you're going to produce content, it's nice to be able to say it made this much money or to say it didn't make money. But unless you're measuring it, you can't say that. That's why HubSpot is so valuable. I really love the tool. And their conference is a great conference, by the way. Inbound's tremendous.
When is that conference happening?
Inbound is usually in September every year. Last year.
And you are going to be there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, I'll be there. I'll be all up in it. I've spoken there every year, but it gets a huge amount of people, about 15,000 or so people. Wow. And it's big. I mean, it makes social media marketing world look small.
And social media marketing, I'm really curious to see how many are going to come this time. Because it's like multiplying itself so fast.
Yeah, my guess is probably right about 3,000 is my guess. That's my guess.
I think it's going to be double, but perhaps you know something, because last year it was 3,000. But I'm waiting to see.
Yeah.
Is there any service provider, you know, they're in the way, like mentor, consultant, advertiser, someone that, you know, had a major impact of your customer success? It can be either like you have been a major impact for me. It doesn't have to be directly, but someone that really was an inspiration or helped you during the way that can help other entrepreneurs as well.
Do you know who I love? And I'm going to go old school here.
Please do.
But the person that helped me the most, they don't know me and he's since passed, but his name is Jim Rohn, and his last name is spelled R-O-H-N. And so if you're listening to this podcast right now, I'd recommend that you look him up on YouTube. Again, it's Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. He, to me, is one of the greatest communicators and teachers, business minds I have ever seen. And if somebody said to me, what do you want to eventually be like? I hope I have the impact that Jim Rohn had on people.
Wow. So first of all, we will put the link to Jim Rohn at our show note with your interview, so it will be easy to find. And I'm looking forward to go and look for everything that you talk about him. I never heard about
him. You will love him. And believe it or not, one of his first mentees, in other words, somebody famous started working with him, and then he started his own gig, and his name was Tony Robbins, who, of course, you've heard of.
Wow. So you have this new book, and what is the one thing you're most fired up about? How are you going to bring this whole idea to the whole world?
Well, you know, I wrote the book because for so long the Riverpool story has been talked about in other books.
Sure.
I said, why am I not writing this story?
It's my story.
It's my story. So I wrote it, and just getting it out there was, for me, it was a big victory. The fact that Mashable called it the number one marketing book to read in 2017, that was a really big deal. I like that. But
it is.
But it's, you know what's cool? To have people that have never read my stuff before get the book. And they email me, they contact me, and they say, Marcus, this has had a huge impact on me already. I'm so excited. I'm rejuvenated. I'm reinvigorated for my business. And that brings me a lot of joy. And it's been very successful. I've been very, very pleased with the book so far.
Where can we get it? Where can we find it?
Well, You can get on Amazon when they're not sold out. Somebody emailed me last night on somebody hit me on Twitter yesterday. It's like, hey, Marcus, I want to get 5 more copies of your book, and it's sold out on Amazon. So that's probably a good sign. So you can get on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, and hopefully you can get it other places as well. But those are the two main places that you can order it.
And I'm going to order it in the conference, I hope.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be able to sign it for you. I'll be doing a book signing there at Social Media Marketing World, so hopefully I'll just be able to knock it out there, right there for you.
Please save one to me, because I'm sure you will get out of books very, very fast. before we said goodbye, the last question of John Lee Dumas, who I learned everything about podcasting from, and he is my inspiration in terms of podcasts. And he always say, what is your last piece of guidance? And also, what is the best way to connect with you?
Last piece of guidance. I travel the world. I have 4 kids. I try to have them travel with me as much as possible. And I oftentimes tell them this when we go anywhere, and that is, wherever you are, be there. And I believe that is such a sound piece of advice, because we don't want to be distracted by the phone, by technology, by other people. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing right now, just do that. Do that thing really, really well. And if you can do that, I think you're going to live a very rich and enriching life.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to contact me, though, they can find me. If you're listening to this, you can email me, marcus@thesaleslion.com. So you can email me. You can hit me up on the Twitters. It's @thesaleslion. Again, LION, @thesaleslion. And or you can just type in pool guy, and I guess I'll probably come up there too.
Probably. Rich or Miss listeners, we'd love to hear your thoughts about this interview, about this show, or any questions you would like to ask Marcus. And I want to thank you, Marcus, so much. It has been a pleasure. I'm so happy that I had a chance to talk with you.
Well, the pleasure was all mine, and I really appreciate it. And congratulations on the podcast.
Thank you.
And hopefully I'll see you and maybe some of your listeners in San Diego here really soon.
I do hope so. For you, our listeners, until next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and visions.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.